This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good evening, Bahamas. This is Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto, and it's a pleasure for you to be joining me this evening. Unfortunately, my co-host, Dr. Wesley Francis, is involved in surgical obligations, so I'm riding solo today. This is the month of November, of course. We discuss Movember, which is throughout the world, with the month of Movember, where men are encouraged not to shave, to grow their mustache, in solidarity and bringing awareness to several issues, primarily prostate cancer awareness and prevention and management, testicular cancer awareness and management, suicide prevention, and mental health. So I'm going to discuss next week in more detail testicular cancer, testicular issues. But obviously, I'll always mention prostate cancer. It's the number one cancer in this country, and it's killing over 100 men, Bahamians and residents, every single year. And no man needs to die of prostate cancer. I keep drumming that home. No man needs to deal with being diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer and dying a life of indignity and pain and suffering. When, if they were picked up with prostate cancer early, their chance of survival at 5 years for cancer-specific survival is nearly 100%, and at 10 years is 97%. It's a very curable disease, prostate cancer. It's a very easily detected disease, and there's so many minimally invasive, painless ways that we can give you a 100% cure for prostate cancer, and I always use the motivation that if you want to maintain your erections, and every Bahamian man wants to maintain their erections well into their later years, into their 80s, the number one way to do that is to make sure you got your annual physicals, and make sure if you're diagnosed with a non-communicable disease that you actually follow the management plan, have a healthy lifestyle, exercise 3 times a week, a well-balanced diet, try to maintain a normal body mass index. And of course, you need to, at the age of 40, every single year after that, what is your prostate-specific antigen number? Know your numbers. We want to make sure that if we can pick up prostate cancer early, we can give you 100% cure. I also will use this platform to advocate for the HPV vaccine, human papillomavirus vaccine. Over 30 to 40 women every single year in this country are being diagnosed with cervical cancer. Unfortunately, the vast majority of them are at an advanced stage. Many of them are young women in the prime of their life with young children, just got married, the career ahead of them, and they're dying a painful and agonizing death that's emotionally and financially devastating. If you can get the HPV vaccine, and it's advocated to get it in your preteens, 11 or 12 is the best age. You can even get it all the way up until the age of 26. But essentially, it can reduce the incidence of cervical cancer by 92%. So we can eradicate cervical cancer in our Bahama land essentially by giving everybody the HPV vaccine. And that includes boys, girls, young men, and young women. And it's readily available at local clinics. Any pediatrician will have it available free of cost. So please save yourself, save your loved ones. Please advocate for getting the HPV vaccine. So I'm going to focus a little bit on mental health. There's not enough that's being discussed in regards to the mental health of Bahamian men. And many young men, young boys, unfortunately, live a life of chaos, emotional trauma, and turmoil. I'm going to introduce two terms that I think are essential and that we lack in this country, and that's in pertaining to men's mental health, and that's one of a safe space. So you will define a safe space as a place or an environment in which a person or a category of people can feel confident that they will not be exposed to any emotional or physical harm. So it's just a space, physical space, it's emotional space, where you can feel safe to discuss your wants, your needs, your troubles, without fear of retribution, without fear of judgment, and in a welcoming environment where you're going to receive the help that you need. And everybody needs a leg up now and then. There's always going to be darkness in your life at some point or other, and there's always has to be an outlet. There has to be a source of light to guide you through that darkness. The second term I'd like to discuss is emotional fluency. And Bahamian men do not have any amount of emotional fluency, and that's what's something that we need to stress. So what is emotional fluency? It's being able to sense, to translate, and effectively apply the power of your emotions in a healthy and productive manner. So we bottle up our emotions. We never feel free to discuss it. It's deemed feminine to see that you have any weakness in your life. And that's going to be the downfall of not just our men and our generations of men to come, but our society as a whole. Suicidal ideations are also an issue. There are too many men who may not physically commit suicide, although dozens and dozens of men either attempt or are successful, sadly, with committing suicide. But they live their life where they're almost suicidal in their actions because they live for the moment. They don't have any sense of a future. They don't look at what they may be doing wrong that may influence their future because they're only living in the moment because they have no hope. They live a life of hopelessness, and that's unfortunately an overwhelming problem for too many boys, teenagers, and young men and middle-aged men in this country. There's too much hopelessness and there's too much despair, and there's no outlet to release their frustrations, to seek help for their emotional or even physical traumas or their youth that they bottle up inside. So when we talk about men in this country, we're talking about the path to emotional destruction. Essentially, too many young boys, young men, teenagers are ticking time bombs, essentially. And we see that in the crime statistics. Murder is a common occurrence. It's almost a day doesn't go by where we're going to hear about another murder. And each one gets more grievous than the other. There's no honor even among thieves, among gang members, where if you're walking your grandmother to church, you're still going to be targeted. If you're holding your baby, you're still going to get early morning hours. So where is our society headed? It's headed to destruction, and we need to address the root causes of that destruction. And many of the issues lay within what we don't see in our men. It's the inner self, where they're having inner turmoil, where they have bottled up rage and they have no outlet for that rage. So I always like to think about it when you think about a volcano. Many men in this country are basically a volcano ready to erupt. You can think about it this way. When you have a can of soda and you shake it up and then you put cans of soda, you don't know which one has been shaken and which one when you open and take off the cap, which one is going to explode in your face. Because you're not looking within the man with all the trouble because you can't see it. And you're not seeking to try to find those men who are troubled, to find those men who need our help. And men are reluctant to seek help because as defined us as being feminine, as being weak, that your emotions is going to garner ridicule from men in your life, from your elders, we need to reverse that psychology. It's self-destructive, essentially. So where are we going from here? Basically, we have men who are emotionally traumatized, who are abused, until some event happens. And it can happen in a blink of a moment. And you can't take back that moment. How many men are living their lives in Fox Hill Prison, or awaiting trial, or walking around with an ankle bracelet? They may never have any future whatsoever, because in that instant, they picked up a knife, or they struck their loved one, or they decided to drive drunk and have manslaughter charges against them, because they had no outlet for their emotional turmoil. So they seek some kind of relief. They self-medicate with either alcohol or illicit drugs or marijuana. And it doesn't, all it does is a puping wound. It doesn't solve the problem. In fact, all it does is cause another problem. So then you're reliant on even when we talk about the overuse of prescription drugs. There are too many of us who are reliant on opiates. You find solace in drinking yourself to sleep every night, because you can't face the night, the silence of the night, but all the hell and turmoil that's within you. So when we as a nation can promote preventative medicine and care for the physical well-being, but if we're ignoring the emotional, the psychological, and the mental, we'll be the undoing of a generation of men and a nation in our future. So for a male baby, tears, crying, that's a form of expressing the need for help, expressing the need for unhappiness or wants. But for young boys, for young men, for teenagers, cries for help are rarely tears, but they take the form of abrasive behaviors, criminal acts, delinquency, drug abuse, and in the worst case, suicide or murder. So hundreds, even thousands of boys, teenagers, and men in our beautiful Bahama land have negatively changed the path of their lives in an instant. An instant dictated by bottled up suppression, years of anger and frustration, committing armed robbery in a moment of desperation when faced with the dreaded feeling that nothing matters because you have no future or nothing to live for. Bahamian communities are safe places for young boys and men to express and release their emotions, and far too often they lack support groups as well. And that's very troubling, and just continuing to mushroom out of control, and you can see a crime problem just getting worse and worse, and we're not addressing the root cause of crime. It's wonderful to have the best criminal, everybody else, and we may have one of the highest rates of incarceration in the world, but eventually most of these young men are going to get out, and what are they going to live for? What is going to be impact of our society? But why don't we, just as we want to do preventative medicine for our physical, let's do preventative medicine for our mental well-being, for our emotional well-being. Let's make sure that these men are not always so angry. They're not so quick to pick up a gun, not so quick to pick up a knife, that they have a family support network where they don't need to seek support by joining a gang and going down a road that nobody wants them to see them go down. Violence breeds violence. Disrespect breeds disrespect. So a lot of these young men come from homes of physical and emotional abuse, and all they know is how to, they see their mothers being abused, being used. They know no better. That's what they're going to perpetrate, and that's the men that they're going to become. Their grandfathers, their uncles who are abusive, are breeding abusive younger members of their family to be a future abusers. Murder, dead bodies, violent shootings, armed robberies are just becoming a daily reality, and it's destroying our country, and we need to do something about it. Every one of us has some form of post-traumatic stress disorder, and again, there's no way that anyone's addressing it. How many young children are walking to school and hearing gunshots or actually seeing dead bodies, or while they're trying to do their homework, they're victims of armed robbery? It's very troubling, and we need to turn the tide, and it has to happen now. We can no longer let our society go down this road. So men, teenagers, and boys are lacking a safe place where they can be seen and heard without judgment. We all need mentors. We all need role models. We all need positivity in our life. But someone to support us, to push us forward, to be a guiding light in the darkness, and that's paramount. And very few of us have those role models in our life. We can reach out to young boys early, and we can change their internal world to a positive one. Then their external world will be shaped by them instead of having their external world shaping them. So every day in the Bahamas, we have boys and teenagers and men facing trauma, anxiety, mental issues, and stress. But if unchecked, can lead to consequences such as physical violence, depression, substance abuse, self-harm. There is a wall of toxicity that seems to pervade our society and men in general in our society. The building of this wall begins when we are young boys, little boys, sit in the proverbial kitchen table and they're gifted their man box. They tear off the wrapping paper, open the lid, and look inside. And inside the man box, we find all of the emotions that society has deemed appropriate for men and the male image. Inside, we have emotions like happiness, anger, and excitement. Missing, however, are emotions like fear, vulnerability, sadness. These emotions are missing because our society has deemed these emotions as feminine and therefore weak. And the untold harm that we're doing to our men by making them feel that they're weak, be if they express their emotions or if they seek some outlet for their frustrations or their turmoil, as I mentioned, is going to be the undoing of our country, and we're seeing it manifest itself every single day in the form of crime, hopelessness, and destitution. So the man box also comes with several ready-made tools, like you need to man up. Real men don't cry. Real men don't express their emotions. They don't express their sadness. You need to just ride it out. You need to suck it up. Further driving home the point that for the male image, weakness and vulnerability are not welcome. It is becoming this fear of being deemed weak that far too many of our males never address the deep-seated trauma, emotional upheaval, and anger. And it's because of these beliefs and others that men are afraid to ask for help. They may seek comfort and solace in a gang, or in alcohol, or in drugs, or in abusing women, or being a womanizer. Or for a lot of men, their identity is wrapped around how many women they have, or how many women can they fool or abuse, or how many children they can have. Or I've met men who proudly say, I have 38 children that I acknowledge, or I have 42 children, I'm trying to have more. How many of them do you support? None. Where are we going as a nation if that's our mentality? And we need to change that. And that can happen in the home, that can happen in the school, that can happen in the church. The gut change our mentality. We need to change it within ourselves. And that comes from stop judging men when they need to seek help for mental issues or psychological issues or for the betterment of their emotional well-being. So as men in this country, we cannot continue to ignore what is not seen. So the internal world of boys, teenagers, and men in our country is made up of our thoughts, our emotions, and our feelings. So what is unseen in males in our country is often more important than what is seen. We have to look beneath the surface. We need to ask the important questions. We need to ask the difficult questions. We need to make that effort to see, how are you doing? We need to look beneath the covers. We need to, obviously, every young boy, whether they're 7 years old, 11 years old, or 18 years old, I'm fine, nothing wrong. But you need to delve deeper. They need to have an open environment where if something is frustrating them, if something is causing them to have hopelessness, if they're depressed, if they feel like have no future, that we can provide them hope to change their life. Nobody is on a path of destruction. We can prevent them from going down that path. But if we ignore the emotional well-being of our young men, if we ignore the psychological well-being of our boys, we're never going to turn the tide. So we'll continue this talk on the other end of the commercial. This is Urologist Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto.
Boy, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Boy, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side. Trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool enough.
Boy, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know. And nobody gotta know it's you.
So how did it work?
All you gotta do is call them or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio Talk anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian 6.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazine, no decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Garden, then telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
Welcome back. Good evening. This is the Urologist Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto. This is meant to be an interactive show. Feel free to text us on the Guardian Radio text line at 422-4796, or you can call us at 423-6232-54316 or 326-4259 or call us toll free from the Family Islands at 242-300-5720. So we're talking about Movember, where we're trying to put an emphasis on mental well-being, suicide cancer awareness, and testicular cancer awareness. So I'm starting this show talking about the too often unheralded topic of mental well-being in boys, teenagers, men, middle-aged and older men in this country. So we're talking to the men today because this is Movember, where I said at the onset of the show, it's a combination of Movember is musterity, men throughout the world annually, every single November will grow out their mustache so that they can bring awareness to important emotional, mental, and physical well-being of men throughout the world. Too many men in this country are more attuned to their cars and what's happening to their cars than to their own inner machinery, including, and most importantly, their emotional and psychological well-being as well. So we talk about a lot of words like death, despair, debt, devastation, deadbeat, this is a Bahamian male mental health struggle, and this is unsustainable. The unsustainability of the Bahamian male trauma, the Bahamian male rage, the Bahamian male resentment—it's a real thing. And men have to realize your environment does not define you. You may have been born into poverty. You may live the daily struggle of poverty. But poverty does not define who you are and what you will become. In fact, you should use that struggle to inspire yourself for greatness. Let hardship build character, self-determination, and an impeccable work ethic. Rise above your difficult circumstances. You see how hard your mother is working. Live your life so that you have academics as a priority in your life. Try and attain greatness in your academics. Go off to college. Go off to university. Get a profession. Get a career so that you can one day take care of your mother, your father, your grandmother, who sacrificed so many years for you. Make sure that the life is going to be better than it's going to be. Your children's life is going to be better than the one that you're living now. So every generation is going to have it easier than the one before it. And that can happen through academics. And I've mentioned it before, and we had a very lengthy discussion with my co-host, Dr. Wesley Francis, previously on shows where there's an issue where academics are not stressed in the Bahamas for men. When you look at across the board, government schools, private schools, we look at honor rolls, we look at academic achievements, we look at those who are honored for their success in the BGCSEs or BJCs, 90% are women, are females. And that's a travesty, not to downplay the success of women or females, but where are the men? What is their future like? Why do men feel that sacrificing by studying, by putting down the basketball, by putting down the PlayStation remote, excelling academically, why are they then shunned because of it? Why are they called sissy? Why are they called nerds? Why are they excluded within the society of a school environment because they're succeeding? And it makes no sense whatsoever. How many men are in their early 20s or late teens and they wish they had that opportunity to go back to their early elementary school years, to go back to junior high school and actually pick up a book, actually study, actually try and excel, because they know their life will be much easier and much brighter if they attain success academically. But in our society, there are far too many men and women, but I'm talking apparently to the men, young boys, teenagers who are graduating, and they're graduating with no tools to be able to survive in this society. They have to take menial jobs and just live not only month to month, but day to day to try to survive, when they could have had a much brighter future if we had allowed them to embrace academics and to encourage them to exceed and to actually have an environment where if you do excel academically, you're going to be praised instead of feel ashamed for what you have achieved. And that's a crying shame. And I see it getting worse and worse. Even in the medical fraternity, the last generation, this coming generation, most of the females are dominating the specialties of the medical fraternity. And there are far too many men who are really not doing anything with their life other than causing daily destruction to society. So how can we change the tide? And I think that we need to find a way that we can embrace our men, where we can uplift them, instead of why every newspaper are succeeding throughout the world, accomplishing great things, but there's very little fanfare for that. You'll see someone held before the courts for a triple murder, but someone who's excelled and got his PhD or from Ivy League school, there's no word of that. But such positive images can actually turn the tide. It can give people hope to know that someone from a community that they had to go through a lot of destitution. And I mentioned Dr. Wesley Francis. He said himself, he grew up in the Second Street, the Grove, and he's gone on to greatness. He became the first surgical oncologist, cancer specialist surgeon in the history of the Commonwealth of Bahamas. He became the head of department for the Princess Margaret Surgical Department. He's the head of an operating director of surgical services at Doctors Hospital. He was a member of the PHA board. So you don't let unfortunate circumstances define you. It'll allow you to motivate you to rise above your circumstances. And Dr. Wesley Francis is a shining example, and there are many like that. Dr. Reginald Nemor, he's one of the best known anesthetists in the country. He's well respected throughout the community and very well revered in the medical community. He grew up, and he'll say, he grew up in Miami Street. He grew up walking to the pump to collect water to bathe, collect water to in a pot to cook. He had to walk several miles to go work at McDonald's and then go to his second job packing groceries. He went on to achieve greatness. He transformed intensive care units in Princess Margaret Hospital and at Doctors Hospital. He's a shining example of someone that's overcome his circumstances. He went on to go and live on Skyline Drive next to former Prime Minister and legend Lyndon Oscar Pinling. So anything is possible. Never give up hope. Anything is possible. If you have nothing, if you're living day to day, you don't know where your next meal is coming from, use that to spend that extra 2 hours to study your books. Use that to motivate yourself to study on the weekends, to join study groups, to attain greatness so that, you know what, you're going to make a better life for your mother. You're going to make a better life for your grandmother. You're going to make a better life for your younger siblings. You're going to make a better life for yourself. You're going to make a better Bahamas. Don't let poor circumstances or unfortunate circumstances pull you down, and poverty does not create your destiny. You create your own destiny. And I'll always say that you need to motivate yourself. It's always wonderful to find a role model to help motivate you, but if you don't have one, you need to be self-motivating and never let anything get you down without seeking help. Whether it's a physical ailment as a male or it's an emotional issue, we have dozens of psychiatrists, psychologists who are going to provide you comprehensive, confidential, compassionate, emotional, and psychological care for you to get you back to where you need to be. And all you got to do is seek help. The greatest tragedy is to continue to live in despair and to live in the silence of despair. And all it's going to do is get worse. And it's going to affect every aspect of your life. It's going to affect your loved ones. It's going to affect your future. It's going to affect your career. It's going to affect your marriage. And all you got to do is seek help. You'll go in, if your car breaks down on the side of the road, you're going to find that time. You're going to make that effort to go in and get your car fixed. If something within you is not working, if you don't feel right, if you feel that there's some turmoil in your life, if you had a traumatic event, seek help to overcome it. Don't let it define you. You only have one life. Live the best life possible. We advocate longevity, and we're advocating quality years on this earth. And that is not just the physical. It's the emotional and it's the mental well-being as well. It's all well and good for someone to get straight A's, to go on to university, to get their master's degree or their MBA, or to become a doctor or to become a lawyer. And then because of all the emotional turmoil in their life, any little thing can cause them to erupt and they strike a colleague or they strike their wife and their marriage is gone, their family life is gone, and the career is gone. So we need to treat every aspect of your well-being, not just the physical, but the emotional. strive for greatness. There's a great quote, and I'm summarizing from Arthur Ashe, the great African-American male champion of Wimbledon, tennis legend. And he said, young African-American boys need to strive not to be Michael Jordan, but you need to strive to be the owner of the Chicago Bulls. Dream big dreams. Even if you fall short, you're still going to be in the realm of greatness. And no matter what your circumstances are, you can always great. As long as you have life, as long as you have your side, you can achieve anything. So poverty is not just a lack of money. It's a social economic condition. And it's also about being marginalized. It's also about feeling excluded. It's also about economic indicators. So if you feel that the government doesn't care about you, you feel like that there's no hope for you, then you make your own hope. Don't rely on others to uplift you. Don't look for a handout. You use that to motivate you to be great on your own. And do it in groups. If you feel that, and it's not going to change, the mentality of our society is not going to change in a day. It's not going to change in a decade. It may not change in a generation. All right, so you get all A's and you're shunned by your classmates because you're a male and you're getting all A's and maybe one A minus. You can find someone else, whether it's a male or a female, who also share that goal of academic greatness, and you partner with them. You allow them to support you and you support them. So you're not alone. So you don't need, you don't go to school to make dozens of friends. You want to make a positive impact on your life. You want to become a better person and you want to create a future. So if that means you only have two or three friends who are academically akin to you and are like-minded and are motivated to do great things, then that's fine. That's all well and good. But don't let other ones tear you down. Don't let persons cause you to be disparaged because you aced a test or you got the top mark in chemistry. Jealousy is an ugly thing. And one of my mentors, I remember telling me many times, Dr. Charles Diggus, he would say, it's lonely at the top, and that's true throughout life. So the more success you have, there's a term, black crab syndrome, unfortunately, at parked cars. If you're not on the move, if you're not doing great things, no one's speaking ill of you, no one's trying to tear you down, no one's saying terrible things about you. One of my mentors are jealous of you. If they hate you, that just take it as a badge of honor. Because if you're not doing anything great, no one cares. No one cares about someone who's on the side of the road begging for spare change. They're going to talk about someone who's doing great things, trying to make strives to make their society better, to make the community better, to make their country better. They're bettering themselves. They're providing a better life for their family. Of course, they're going to talk about that. They're going to try to tear them down. But if you know who you are, if you know that what you're doing is for your family, just block out the noise. It doesn't matter. The noise is always going to come, and you take it as a badge of honor. If no one is going to be a detractor, if someone's going to tear you down, then you're not doing anything right. So let's talk a little, let's shift a little bit. Let's talk about the physical. It's well known that we have one of the most unhealthiest nations in the world. We have the non-communicable diseases in this world, and definitely in the Caribbean. That non-communicable means diseases that can be not, you basically can't catch them. So we're talking about hypertension, we're talking about diabetes, we're talking about high cholesterol, we're talking about obesity. So we're going to talk about the physical well-being for men during this month of Movember, where we're going to grow our mustaches so that we can put an emphasis on male health on the other end of the break. This is Urologist Speaks with BAME urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto.
It turns out that there is more than one special gift to give that special someone this Christmas. Consumers are searching for the perfect presents and the right prices. Published twice in December in the Nassau Guardian's Holidays, or call the Nassau Guardian Advertising Department at 302-2300. That's 302-2300. And ask about our Holiday Gift Guide Media Bundle. You don't want to miss this opportunity. Ring in those holiday profits by placing an ad in the Nassau Guardian Holiday Gift Guide.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. This is Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto, and this is the show The Urologist Speaks. We're speaking about Movember. We were worldwide in the month of November. We're providing emphasis on men's health, mental health, well-being, stressing prostate cancer awareness and testicular cancer awareness. We're in solidarity. Men throughout the world are encouraged to grow out their mustache and not shave. If we can encourage healthy lifestyle from youth, from three-year-old, four-year-old, getting access to positive mental outlets, and even at that young age, being able to express their anger in a non-violent manner. I mean, there are far too many kindergarten young boys who are lashing out at their classmates, who either verbally will assault them or physically will assault them because they just can't deal with their emotions. And that's going to create a problem for our society where these young men have bottled rage even at the age of 5 years old. So we need to find ways to have a positive outlet for the anger that unfortunately too many of our boys, teenagers, and young men keep inside. So when we talk about prostate cancer, why do we have such a high rate of prostate cancer in our society? Unfortunately, there's only so much you can do. We have all the risk factors for prostate cancer. We are primarily of African ancestry. That, only secondary to advancing age, is the number one risk factor for prostate cancer. So prostate cancer, unfortunately, as I've said many times, is a very prejudiced and even racist disease because it afflicts men of African ancestry, Caribbean ancestry, at a far higher rate and within a more aggressive form of the disease than our other racial counterparts. Actually, the opposite is true for testicular cancer. Black men have lower rates of testicular cancer than other racial counterparts, but unfortunately, the counter is for prostate cancer. We have exceedingly high rates of prostate cancer. In the United Kingdom, one in four men of African or Caribbean ancestry are going to be afflicted with prostate cancer in their lifetime. In our Bahama land, about 1 in 6 to 1 in 7, which is the same as African-American men in the United States, 1 in 6 to 1 in 7 men are going to be afflicted with prostate cancer. But as I keep heralding, it's one of the easiest cancers to pick up. It's one of the easiest cancers to treat. In fact, we can pick it up so early with the diseases so indolent, so benign, of no consequence to you, that we can actually actively surveil you safely for many years in many circumstances before we can implement one of many minimally invasive prostate cancer curative treatments that will provide you an excellent cure if we can pick up the prostate cancer when it's organ confined. So what can you do to reduce your chance of getting prostate cancer or any cancer whatsoever? First of all, have a normal body mass index. Even if you do get cancer, the rate of success of cure is going to be higher if you have a normal body mass index. If you're obese, you're not going to do as well if you have curative surgery for cancer, no matter what cancer. You're not going to do as well if you're obese, if you're placed on chemotherapy, or if you have radiation treatment. You're also going to be at greater risk of getting a more aggressive form of prostate cancer if you're obese. After menopause, for women, if you're obese or overweight, you have a higher incidence of breast cancer. So even in your retirement years, please stay active. Stay active and keep your mind active as well. That's going to lead to longevity. What else you can do to reduce your chance of prostate cancer? You can reduce your dairy milk intake, because dairy milk has a high rate of hormones and estrogens, because 75% of the dairy milk comes from pregnant cows, where the estrogen levels are very high. Prostate cancer is very hormonal sensitive, so that can trigger you to get prostate cancer. So studies have shown that if you can reduce your dairy milk intake, you can reduce your chance of getting prostate cancer by as much as 33%. And that's even more so for men of African ancestry or black men, because the way we metabolize calcium is different than other racial counterparts. And that's going to make us more sensitive to estrogens in dairy milk and put us at a greater risk of getting prostate cancer. What you can also do is reduce your processed milk food intake. You can reduce your red meat intake. Across the board, you don't want to smoke cigarettes. You don't want to smoke cigars. I get a lot of anger coming from a lot of men who are on the golf courses when I said that cigars can promote lung cancer. It can lead to lung disease. It can lead to cardiovascular disease. It can promote stroke, heart attack. It can lead to, even from the urology perspective, prostate cancer, kidney cancer, bladder cancer. So it's not an innocuous stress reliever to get home from work and smoke a cubana. You're putting yourself at risk of many harmful ailments, including heart attack, stroke, and cancer. A lot of men don't want to hear that, but that's the truth. I unfortunately diagnose bladder cancer far too often in this country, and almost every single one of them was a chronic cigar smoker, and it's difficult for them to quit. So please don't even start the habit. Don't even smoke cigars socially. There's no benefit to it other than the harm that it can cause you in the short term or in the long term. What else you can do to reduce prostate cancer? There's a class of medications that actually can reduce your chance of getting low-risk prostate cancer by as much as 25%. And it also can combat male pattern baldness. So think about that. You can keep your hair, reduce your chance of getting prostate cancer by as much as 25%. Win-win all around. You can also try and have as many as 21 ejaculations or more per month. That can reduce your chance of getting prostate cancer by as much as 25%. And that is being confirmed on long-term studies, including a Harvard study involving over 27,000 men and a very well-received Australian study as well. So there are things that we can do to prevent prostate cancer, but please know what your numbers, know what your prostate-specific antigen blood test value is every year from the age of 40. And live your life health as a healthy individual. Eat right. Try and get exercise. As I always say, do things in groups. If you don't like swimming, don't swim. If you like playing volleyball is a great source of relieving stress and getting good physical exercise. Do something that you love. But please get your annual physicals every year. Finances are not an issue in regards to getting your annual physicals. There's an NHI program. If you sign up, you can get your annual bloods for free. You can get your medications for your non-communicable diseases, hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, etc., even prostate cancer or even benign prostate hyperplasia medication for free. So there is no excuse for you to not give yourself at least an hour a year to try to address your health and the betterment of your health. So please listen to your body. I'm just going to take a text. So the text message says, are perceived academic and career successes thought to contribute to a more healthy life medically? So stress in itself can cause health issues. If you're trying to, every day you're trying to find out where's your next meal coming from. You're trying to pay your car loan. You're trying to find the money for the rent. You're trying to find money for school fees. Your child is going off to college. You're going to have sleepless nights because you don't have that money. You're living on the razor's edge. Obviously, that's going to cause you to have health issues as well. So if you can, from early on, create a path to success where you can live an upper middle class life, or even better, where you can provide all the opportunities that you may not have had to your children, to the wife, give your wife everything. That's going to lead to a healthier life for you. It's going to lead to a healthier life for your wife. It's going to lead to a healthier life for your children. So yes, academic success can breed success in terms of you having a healthier physical well-being and mental well-being as well. Obviously, if you're stressed all the time from one thing to another because of finances or because of a career that is not going anywhere or a job that you're only doing to pay the bills, you're not going to be happy in life. Unhappiness can lead to physical ailments as well. So even from that perspective, please stress in your children the importance of academic pursuits and success, particularly for young boys out there who basically are going down the road where it's basically they're applauded for doing poorly in school, where sports are encouraged, but academics are frowned upon, and that is causing the destruction of generations of men. And even when, and I've discussed this before, even when we do get our men to achieve greatness, where they go off to university, far too many of them never return. It's called brain drain, and it's happening throughout the Caribbean. It's happening throughout the world where the best and the brightest never come back. And how are we going to create a better society? How are we going to achieve greatness in our society? How are we going to have the latest in terms of innovations, in terms of technology? If those who are trained in it and have special skills never return to our country. And what is the reason they don't return? For many of them, crime. They don't want to deal with the crime. They don't want to deal with the fear of crime. They don't want to deal with living as if they're in jail with battened down houses and afraid to come out at night, etc. And only we can change the course of our society. And that has to happen from many different angles. It can't just happen from improving the judiciary. It can't just happen from equipping the police. Obviously, that's important. But let's stop a 12-year-old from going down the path of becoming a murderer when he's 20. Let's stop a 7-year-old from becoming a wife beater when he's young, when he's a little bit older. Let's stop our mentality where parents will actually encourage the young men in their life to steal, to commit armed robbery, or fathers are encouraging their men to get women in their life pregnant and to abandon them and to use them, and all are doing is our society as a whole is going down the drain. Let's change that tide, and that starts with preventative medicine, and that's for mental health, psychological health, and physical health as well. And I want to turn the tide as a urologist, and that's one of the main reasons I became a urologist, is to stop men dying needlessly from prostate cancer. If you need a motivation to get prostate cancer screening, and I'm here to say all you need is at least initially a PSA prostate blood test every year from the age of 40 and every year after that, at least until the age of 70, you can use the motivation that if you get advanced prostate cancer, there are many things that we can do to give you several years on this earth, even with advanced disease. But the first thing we're going to do is we're going to give you what we call androgen deprivation. We're going to lower the testosterone as low as possible to basically starve the prostate cancer so it can no longer proliferate and progress. And the what's the consequence of that? You're not going to get any erections. You're not going to get any sex drive. You're going to develop gynecomastia. All of a sudden, you're going to have male. You're going to have man boobs. You're going to develop a male bare belly. You're going to feel a lack of energy. You're going to be the male version of menopause. Why did you have to go down that road? Where if we picked up prostate cancer early, or even if we prevented prostate cancer, even better. But let's say we picked it up early, we could have minimally invasively cured you of your prostate cancer and maintain your erections at a very high rate. And what we try to do in prostate cancer is aim for the trifecta when it comes to prostate cancer. We want to make sure that we cure you. We want to maintain your erections the same before the cancer prostate cancer treatment and after. And we want to make sure that the disease is in remission for your lifetime. There's not going to be any recurrences. And we can do that for prostate cancer with a very high rate of probability if we can pick up the disease when it's early, when it's low volume, and when it's organ confined. So this whole misunderstanding, and I keep speaking about it all the time, that if you get prostate cancer, it's a death sentence. Your erections are gone. You're going to have to live your life on a catheter. You're going to live yourself. You're going to die in agonizing pain. It may be because of what you saw. Maybe that happened to your uncle, your grandfather, but they were diagnosed with advanced disease, which didn't have to happen. So let's turn the tide. If you yourself, you were diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer, what can you do? You can talk to your family members. You can talk to your nephews. You can talk to your sons. You can talk to your grandsons. Make sure that what you have gone through or are going through doesn't have to happen to them. It can be prevented. Prostate cancer is not the death sentence. I'm not going to stop saying that. It is not a death sentence. It's a very survivable disease. So why are over 100 men in this country dying needlessly? And I say, and I stress that, and I need to emphasize that, needlessly of prostate cancer when we could have prevented it. So we'll be discussing more about Movember. We're going to try to highlight testicular cancer. There's not enough said about testicular cancer and testicular cancer awareness. There are far too many men being diagnosed with testicular cancer in an advanced age, and unfortunately even teenagers are diagnosed with testicular cancer. So thank you for joining me. Let's make this a better Bahamas, and let's uplift ourselves spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Thank you and have a good night. This is Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto.
Like a champion,
rise up again.
Let nothing keep you down.
Live your best.
Yes, Bahamian urologist.